AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt, Eric, we've broken the weather, man. Yes. Yesterday was weird here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Yesterday was, I mean, the day before, I went to bed that night. I took the dog out at like 10 o'clock on Sunday night. I took him out, and I'm going to guess it was 57, 58 degrees. It was cool. Mm-hmm. Woke up the next morning, it was, 70-something, and humid as the day is long. Got up to 87 on Monday. My son had some baseball games last night, so we're trying to get baseball games in as those storms come rolling through, which, I mean, of course they were going to come through, and it makes no sense that we're going to have temperature swings like this. And then right now, 57 degrees again?
Right back off like yesterday never happened.
It is. When people look and say, oh, yeah, climate change is not real, what do you think this is, man? I mean, all of a sudden, on the last day of September, we have a day more akin to mid-July. Out one day, just one day, boom, 87, a lot of humidity. It is terrifying. I mean, it really is terrifying when you think about what the heck is going on right now in this country. It really is. I thank God the kids are out there fighting for this stuff. I do have we got a guest coming up here. Anat Shenker Osorio is going to join us. She has a podcast, Brave New Words, and she's basically doing a great job, not only talking about here in the United States, but internationally, how messaging is such an important part for the Democrats, and how basically we should have learned our lesson that trying to suck up to a handful of Republican moderates is not going to work, that we have to be proud Democrats. And as a matter of fact, she actually talks about Minnesota in one of her podcasts about that. She's going to join us to talk about this. That's going to come up here a little bit later on. We have also just it sounds like, I don't know if I can, I'm not going to say too much right now, but it sounds like we do have our next debate party kind of set. Have you heard about this, Jen?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, I've got insider information then.
Is this the debate lineup?
No, we already know who's going to be there. I don't have that much power. How much power do you think I have?
I don't know. You're a mysterious guy.
And from Friends, David Schwimmer is going to be on the stage. If I had that kind of power, and also Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player of all time, I'd have a great lineup if I was deciding who was on the debate stage. It'd be phenomenal. It'd be awesome. No, I don't have that kind of power. But we are going to have another debate watching party coming up here. I believe the day is the 15th, Tuesday the 15th. I don't want to say anything. I do think, I will say this, it looks like we're going to head over to the east side of town here for this one. So, and if you've ever wanted to rub elbows, and boy, oh boy, do I have silky soft elbows. You want to rub elbows. You might be able to do that with the crew here as well. We're looking at the 15th of October here coming on up. So we'll talk more about that. When I think I've said too much. I think I've blabbed too much at this point. I'm letting you know insider information. Shouldn't be doing that. Going to get fired. Well, that's the end of that. 952-946-6205. It is rainy out there. Just do anticipate a pretty slow commute around most of the metro area. It's going to kind of just be a bad one for you this afternoon. I will say, boy, this story, this one really kind of is scary. Saw this morning. Man accused of carjacking a vehicle in Minneapolis, hitting several vehicles and people, critically injuring two teens, has been identified. The crash report identifies the suspect as 48-year-old Stephen Ross of St. Paul. Five people were injured in the incident Monday afternoon. As of Tuesday morning, two teens are still fighting for their lives. The report says Ross was arrested for robbery and DWI. According to police, the incident started around 2:16 p.m. yesterday on 17th Avenue South and East 26th. A block away, police said they found a vehicle turned over on its side that was reported. Well, and from what I read, from one of the earlier stories I read here, a police officer saw two people very animated. He went out and investigated, found that someone had just hit their car and drove off. Then a block away, they found a vehicle turned over on its side that was reported to be a parked car hit by the suspect. How hard do you have to hit a car to put it on its side, man?
Yeah, I have no idea how that would even happen.
Oh, by the way, I should say this. There's a video out there, a surveillance video that shows this guy hitting these kids. Don't watch it. He's I can tell you how fast he was going when he hit the kids. It's terrifying. They found a vehicle turned over, reportedly a parked car hit by the suspect. The suspect then attempted to ram a police squad car before taking off, heading east on westbound lanes of Lake Street. Ross was taken into custody after being involved in a substantial crash, crashing into a light pole and causing extensive damage to a nearby business, which started the vehicle on fire. Monday afternoon, police said the suspect was in serious but stable condition as he's treated right now. Obviously, all my best to the family as they are dealing with I can't even comprehend. The two kids just walking down the street, teenagers walking down the street and just blasted by this guy because he's, you know, and yeah, I can't, that's just disturbing. It's just disturbing. All my best to the family there. I know that there's probably been some fundraisers. Look for those, and if you can help out, please do. Turning our attention towards the First District, you know, I understand that the First District leans Republican. In Minnesota First District, which is currently held by Representative Bag of Soup. Hagedorn. I forget pronunciation. I'm so wrong on that sometimes. Hagedorn, not Bag of Soup. Well, you go with that whatever you want to. It's your call at this point. Hagedorn won by 1,300 votes in 2018. And let's see how things have gone for the farmers since then. A lot worse. Oh, by the way, I've got coming up here, the Secretary of Agriculture. He had some comments in Wisconsin, which you've got to hear to believe. If you want to understand, if you are a farmer and you think for one second the Trump administration is on your side, unless you're one of the huge corporate farms, you're screwed. You are screwed. You are. And Dan Freehan has decided to re-challenge Bag of Soup Jim Hagedorn for that seat. Freehan wasted no time in a brief Star Tribune interview Tuesday, opening up attacks on Hagedorn as beholden to special interest in a political party, previewing what is likely to be a long, negative, and expensive campaign. The contest will be one of the most politically closely watched in the country if the Republicans hold their base and face struggling farm economy and potential impeachment of Trump. I'm going to be honest with you. When all of a sudden the auctioneer is showing up at farms and starting to auction off farms like it's 1984 again, and I'm going to be, I can tell you right now, if you pay attention to the ag markets, this is something, you know, it's not just the Chinese trade deal. It's the screwed up, I mean, it started, I mean, all this started, the snowball that started on the top of the mountain and started rolling was when he cut Mexico and Canada's ag thing. Remember when he got into that? Because the dairy industry has a finite product, okay? They can't. It's not like soybeans and corn and stuff like that where you can store it for a while. You have to move the dairy product. You can only move so much into cheese and butter and stuff, and there are already commitments. Most of the factories that process that stuff have already made the commitments. And sure, you can find artesian places, but they've already pretty much made commitments and have contracts too. So when all those contracts for dairy, specifically for Mexico, and pork for Mexico, were basically invalidated, you know, that was immediate, like, okay, wait a minute here. What are you doing? And particularly California dairy producers really got hosed on that deal. But it started a domino effect. And that has been going and going. And it's been gradually moving into other markets, more and more markets. And it's the soybean market is in nightmare scenarios still. No report out today. China probably will not, make a deal with the United States right now. They're not looking to make a deal with the United States. Also, I should mention, before I get to the main comments that the Secretary of Agriculture made, he already said you can't trust the Chinese today, which, of course, if you're the Secretary of Agriculture and you're trying to negotiate with a foreign country, start calling them a bunch of untrustworthy fools is probably not going to help you. But Hagedorn and the Republicans are dependent on blind Republican voting in districts where they basically have gone out there and said, it's God and guns. It's God and guns. Well, you can have your God, and you might be able to keep your guns, but when the rest of your house and farm are being auctioned off, The question you have to start asking yourself is, what are they doing for you? Because as much as you might want to say, I didn't like the trade deals we went with China, you had a trade deal with China under Obama and W. Bush, Clinton, H.W., Reagan. You at least were selling your products overseas during those administrations. And them looking at you saying, come on, suck it up, buttercup. All, and it should be mentioned, a lesser story that came on out that I have not had time to talk about because it's not like we've been, you know, shy on news lately. The current farm bailout right now, which, by the way, most of it's going to the large corporate farmers and politicians who somehow still own farms but can still get $800,000 worth of taxpayer dollars for some reason. I can't quite figure that one out. But this ag bailout, twice as big as the auto bailout right now. Twice as big. Remember all you people belly aching about, where's my bailout with the auto bailout? Well, I don't hear you screaming, where's your bailout with the ag industry, especially when the smaller farmers are getting absolutely screwed over on this. You guys, this is, the ag country is no longer safe. And Democrats, listen to me. Get out of the metro area and get into those districts. And start talking about, you know, and if you are a Democratic candidate, have an ag policy. Say, you know, and don't be afraid to say this. Don't be afraid to say this. Hey, I wasn't happy with the Chinese trade deal either, but it sure as hell is a lot better than what we got today. Because that's a reality. And that's something that's hitting these people in their pocketbooks. And I'd say we could go back and work on that deal, hone that past deal, see if the Chinese are still in work with us, or we can keep having the president on Twitter insult the Chinese leadership and realizing we're never going to get those markets back. So Hagedorn, I don't think, is necessarily safe. And as he comes on out today, he's like, this is a boondoggle when it comes to the impeachment hearing. I don't know. Asking a foreign country for dirt on a political enemy while dangling aid in front of them? It seems pretty serious to me. And then basically trying to discredit your other critics by going to Australia and Italy and, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing. We need to go back. I can see Hagedorn right now screaming, tan suit, man! Tan suit, man! Dijon mustard! Dijon mustard! Yeah, those were crises. 8 Benghazi investigations, no indictments, no charges, no prison time, nothing. But Mueller investigation, how many people are in jail right now? how many charges have been filed? Needless to say, I think Freehand has got a chance down there. I think that he needs to, you know, I don't mind to a point pandering to a base in a district which is not necessarily following a Democratic message which is resonating in the metro core. I understand that. But these guys are weak, and it comes down to this. If Democrats knock on every door in Minnesota 1, if you knock on every door in Minnesota 1, you will win Minnesota 1. If you put forward, hey, we're the party of healthcare, and point out that under Trump, Mr. Promise promised it was going to be better healthcare, cheaper healthcare. It's actually more expensive and less people have it today than when he came into office. You make sure the bread and butter issues in rural Minnesota are being discussed, as Trump has been a disaster for rural Minnesota. Has absolutely been a disaster. And all these Republicans they've all got their, I've told him he needs to make a deal. Well, he ain't making deals. You know who did make a deal? President Obama. And he had a trade market for us. We don't have a trade market right now, and your farm's going to go away thanks to Donald Trump. You get into every door in the Minnesota 1st District, and you knock on that door as Democrats, and you put forward a proud, we're there for the seniors, we're there for health care, we're there for the farmers, reminding them that DFL stands for Democratic Farm Labor. You get out there. You will win Minnesota 1 because Hagedorn's a freaking bag of soup. Come on, man. He is a bag of soup. 952-946-6205. When I come on back, I'll touch on the Sonny Perdue's Secretary of Agriculture pep talk he gave in Wisconsin because, sweet Jesus, we're all on fire. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
I'm John Peterson from Ferndale Market in Cannon Falls. We've been proudly featuring all the best in local foods at our on-farm market since 2008, and I'd like to invite you to our annual fall open house held on the first Saturday each October. We'll have complimentary turkey hot dog lunch, local food samples, live music, hay rides, and a festive day across Cannon Falls. Thank you for your support of local foods and farmers. We'll hope to see you at Ferndale Market soon. FerndaleMarket.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, if I may, we want to make sure I mention promote GoTV for the week here. You go to minvotes.org and you go check that out there. And you know, it's a great thing. Of course, it's being brought to you by Todd Cola. Todd is a listener of the station. He moved to Spain. He cannot necessarily go visit our regular businesses, so he sponsors the show. You can sponsor the show as well. All you have to do is give us a call, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885, to find out how you can. And he basically is encouraging everyone, make sure you're registered to vote and make sure you, we're basically here. It's so important. We're going to put the link up here for the Secretary of State and voting here. It's so important to get registered. Make sure you're all set to go because 2020 is everything. 2020 is everything at this point. 952-946-6205. President Donald Trump's agricultural secretary on Tuesday during a stop in Wisconsin that he said that he doesn't know if the family dairy farm can survive as the industry moves towards factory farm model. Good luck. You're all on fire. I want to repeat this. This is the Secretary of Agriculture who called farmers who were upset about losing their trade markets whiners, who said that their anger was misplaced with all these ethanol waivers, has now basically said he doesn't know if the family dairy farm can survive as the industry moves toward the factory farm model. Wow. Bye. So long to the family farm.
Yeah, this was the guy who was telling the joke, right?
In
Wisconsin a couple months
back? No, this was at the Farm Fest here in Minnesota.
Oh, was it Minnesota?
Farm, yeah.
That what is,
it went over very poorly.
Farmers are very lazy or love to whine.
Wine, they like to whine. And by the way, he said this. He said the small family farm dairy farm is done in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, he says this. Not like Arizona, not like Hawaii, you know, there's some places you can get away with it in some places. in Wisconsin. He told me, hey, whiners, guess what? You're screwed. Well, and by the way, is this a really big... It's Sonny Perdue, for God's sakes. He's Johnny Corporate Farm. I mean, of course he's going to favor the corporate farms over this. U.S. Agricultural Secretary Perdue told reporters following an appearance at the World Dairy Expo in Madison that it's getting harder for farmers to get by on milking smaller herds. In America, the bigger the better, and the small go out. I don't think America, we have, for any small business, we have a guaranteed income or guaranteed profitability. That's nice. Mind you, here's your government, you know, bailout check. But yeah. Perdue's visit comes as Wisconsin's dairy farmers are wrestling with a host of problems, including declining milk prices, rising suicide rates, the transition to larger farms with hundreds of thousands of animals, and Trump's international trade wars. Wisconsin, which touts itself as America's dairy land on its license plates, has lost 551 dairy farms in 2019 after losing 638 in 2018 and 465 in 2017. Okay, we are almost at the number they lost for the full year in three quarters of 2019. Wow. Just unbelievable. The legislature's Finance Committee voted unanimously last month to spend an additional $200,000 to help struggling farmers deal with depression and mental health problems. Jerry Volnick, a fifth-generation Wisconsin dairy farmer with 330 cows, or as Sonny Perdue calls him, loser, left the Perdue event feeling discouraged about the future. Jeez, really? Really? You felt a little discouraged there. Oh, okay. What I heard today from the Secretary of Agriculture is there is no place for me, Volnick told reporters. Can I get some support from my state and federal government? I feel like we're the benefit to society. Hey, who'd you vote for? Oh, that's right, Trump. So shut up. You got this. You got a guy, corporate farm ag secretary, and a guy that doesn't know the first damn thing about trade doing your trade negotiations. You're really surprised by any of this? Getting bigger at the expense of small operations like his is not a good way to go, said Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union and a third-generation dairy farmer who runs a 50-cow organic farm. Or, as Sonny Perdue would say, loser! At what point do you guys wake the hell up? Seriously. It would be worse if the Democrats were there. I don't think it's possible. Your farm is going away. How is it going to be worse? Hey, we had a trade deal with China. Not before Johnny Fumble there. Going back to Darren Von Ruden. Do we want one corporation to own all the food in our country? He said to reporters. My guess is after he said this comment, Sonny Perdue couldn't hide his sexual excitement. be my guess. Perdue says he believes the 2018 Farm Bill should help farmers stay afloat. The bill reauthorizes agriculture and conservation programs at a rough cost of $400 billion over 5 years or $468 billion over 10, but he warned that small farms will still struggle to compete. Basically, if you haven't been paying attention, Trump, Sonny Perdue, the Secretary of Agriculture, has basically said, you're screwed. If you're a small farm, if you're not a massive corporate farm, you're screwed. And they don't care. They don't care. And even when you look at all of the ag bailout money that they've given out, the vast majority of that is going to large corporate farmers because that's all they care about is the corporation, not the farm. This is not your savior. He is killing you. He is killing you. And you are as the Trump administration is holding these dairy farmers and soybean farmers and ethanol farmers, they're holding their head underwater as they're drowning. The farmers are still screaming, damn Democrats! It's your own damn fault! Jeff Lynn, general manager for First Farm Dairy Cooperative in Madison, asked Perdue for his thoughts on Trump's trade war with China. Trump administration has long accused China of unfair trade practices and imposed escalating rounds of tariffs on Chinese imports. To press the concessions, the administration alleges that Beijing steals and forces foreign companies to hand over trade secrets and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't help with milk. Chinese countermoves have been specifically hard on American farmers because they target U.S. agricultural imports. By the way, once again, why is most of the Brazilian rainforest being burned down right now? Those are going to be farms, which are going to farm the new stuff that's going to go to China. You've lost your market. Dairy solids exports to China fell 43% overall in the 11 months starting July 2018. China enacted the first round of retaliatory tariffs on U.S. dairy products. About 3.7 billion pounds of U.S. farmers' milk had to find other markets during that span. Guess what? Some of it didn't. And that's part of the reality deal of it. We're going to have time for one call, so let's get David in San Francisco, if we can. David in San Francisco, you wanted to chime in on the ag bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Matt. You remember the derivative scandal of the early 90s?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, it had to do with agencies, say like the Treasury, or say the treasurer department of a school district. The treasurer is kind of corrupt, and he decides that he's going to lend the money out on a, if you're familiar with overnight loans, and if you lend the money out for six hours, and then you lend it out at midnight and it's back by 6 a.m., and if you lend it to China, that's 6 hours in advance, so it's back before you leave. It leaves, right? So the derivative scandal of the 1990s stole a massive amount of money from America, and so school districts and sewer departments and all sorts of agencies were looted by the same savings and loans crooks.
David, I've got a guest coming up here, so let's get to the. It's a great history lesson. I mean, your knowledge is always is exceptional. But what's your main point here, though?
Thinking about the pots of money that you're talking about, the ag bill, or in the case of the Ukrainian foreign aid bill, that's $250 million to $400 million. And they held off spending it for months. And as I understand it, the soy farmers, for example, they're still waiting for the check, right? The check's in the mail while the foreclosure is getting closer. So I'm just wondering if this derivative scandal is being played again through the Trump administration.
Oh, it's never not nearly as nuanced as that. What it is just basically that they're screaming we're helping the farmers while just giving the corporate farms all the money, and that's why the small farmers are not getting anything in regards to these handouts. So, David, I appreciate it. I've got when we come on back, I've got Anat Shankar Osorio is going to join us. We're going to talk about her podcast, Brave New Words, and her messaging to the Democrats, not only here in this country but internationally, and it's exceptional. We'll talk about that and talk to her when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show here on AM 950.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
What if we lived in a world where trauma was seen as an accepted, inevitable experience and not a pathological anomaly? What if healing and reversing trauma was the key to obtaining the joy and fulfillment that every human deserves? On Monday, October 7th, join the University of Minnesota for a lecture and discussion on The Transformation, Discovering Wholeness and Healing After Trauma by Dr. James S. Gordon. As a world-recognized authority on post-traumatic stress, Dr. Gordon will be presenting the first comprehensive, evidence-based program for reversing the psychological and biological damage caused by trauma. In The Transformation, Dr. Gordon delivers an inviting narrative that allows readers to easily use his step-by-step evidence-based program to reverse the psychological and biological damage that trauma causes and to restore their hope and heal themselves. The cost for the lecture is $10 and includes a copy of The Transformation, Discovering Wholeness and Healing After Trauma. There will be a book signing and reception after the lecture. Space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu. You.
With my busy schedule with the colder months finally here, Rudy Luther Toyota saves me time, money, and hassle. A great example? The Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchased, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy while saving you money. It really helps me out, and with my hectic fall family schedule, I really appreciate it. Find out all the benefits yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Marilyn May's got a full extended performance schedule coming up here all this week. Great dinner, great music. You can find it over at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Highway 65 on Moore Lake, just north of 694 in the North Metro. Anat Shankar Osorio is joining us right now. The podcast is Brave New Words. She is an expert on messaging, and if Democrats were smart, she'd be listening to her all the way through some pretty strong victories in 2020. Anat, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure, because you and I am so glad to talk to you for this reason, is that for me, I started noticing, okay, 2006, we had strong Democratic, you know, platform put forward. We were strong Democrats. We won. Obama in 2008, 2010, we became the party of let's win over five moderate Republicans, and it failed. Then, of course, Obama in 2012, but 2014, 2016, major losses because, once again, the Democratic Party seemed to be forsaking itself for trying to win over a handful of moderate Republicans, and it wasn't working. We finally, in 2018, go back to a strong Democratic platform. We have pretty good success as we're heading into 2020. This is an issue for that. I think that, you know, the Democrats need to make sure they stay on that strong platform. For you, when did you start noticing that the platform, the messaging that was coming from the Democrats was failing?
Yeah. So for me, as a researcher, which I think I'm going to posit as the more interesting answer than me as a politically aware human being, which follows your trajectory, it was when I did a project in 2011, and I was looking at examples of dial tests. Dial tests are, for your listeners, if you've ever watched the debates on CNN and you watch the lines go across your screen and people are going up when they like it and down when they don't, that's an online dial test. It's a way of measuring people's moment-to-moment responses. I started looking through them on a project that I was doing on how to talk about immigration and immigrant rights and noticed this very strange pattern where, for Republicans, the winning message was the one where the red line, meaning their base, and the middle were trending upwards, and the third line, representing their opposition or the Democrats or people who were strongly pro our side, was trending downwards. And they would say, that's the winning message. And Democratic pollsters, their trend lines, when they were looking at, oh, here's your winning message, it's message A or it's message B, it was the message where all three lines would be trending upwards. So Republicans were saying that the winner looked like sort of a sideways V, two lines up, one line down, and Democratic pollsters were saying it was where all three lines were trending up. And Frank Luntz, who is sort of famously their kind of language expert, although he's apparently had some sort of come to Jesus moment recently and is now cares about the climate, he was very succinct about this, and he said simply, I dial for the red meat. Because the basic understanding is that if you don't have a message that your base is willing to repeat, by definition, it's not persuasive, because if your base isn't going to carry the message, the middle isn't going to hear the message. So it doesn't actually matter what the content is. And that's where I really sort of started seeing this, was in the math.
It was, and it's something that I see today. I mean, I've actually had Democrats tell me, oh, we need to kind of, and I shouted these people down pretty good when they said to me, oh, we can just ignore the main party. We have to win over a handful of Republicans. I said, no, that we've tried that. It has failed. And you're right. It seems like the only time the Democrats look at a winning message is when we get everyone on board. They can't just look and say, all right, we're a political party. Let's look at our base. And we go from there. It's not, you know, absolute because, I mean, yeah, 2006, 2018, they did figure out, you know, a good, strong Democratic message wins. But it just it seems like they try too hard and they overthink this stuff. And there's just this element that says we have to win over these moderate Republicans. And that's just not true.
Well, and it's also what's interesting about it is that, first of all, it undermines what we already said, which is that somebody has to carry the message, because if the message is tested in some sort of box and then no one ever uttered those words again, by definition, it wasn't persuasive because
yes.
nobody heard it. But also, we've had a fundamental misunderstanding of how middle of the road slash swing slash independent voters actually respond to messaging. We have had this prevailing idea, or at least a lot of the Democratic establishment has had this prevailing idea. And by the way, this isn't just in the U.S. We see this with the Labour Party in the U.K. We see this with the Labour Party in Australia, other spots that I've worked across sort of center-left parties in the EU, where there's this prevailing idea that the middle-of-the-road voter desires a moderate or centrist position. In fact, when we do research on them, what we find is that these people are, by definition, non-ideological. They don't have set and fixed political views. And so what we find with them is that they make their selection about which view most accords with what they want based on what's to the left or right of it. So in an experiment where we give them three policy positions and we say those policy positions correspond, let's say, to red, orange, and yellow, the majority of the middle of the road want orange. But if we name three policy positions that are orange, yellow, and green, the majority of them want yellow. In other words, they want the, quote, center option without respect to what the contents of that option is. It's just purely on the basis of feeling like there's something more left and something more right.
Mm-hmm. And I think what that's a brilliant take. And I when I find that what that resonates for me is that I think the people in the middle, in the absence of Democratic leadership saying, I'm proud of my, I mean, we should have been selling the Affordable Care Act for every election. And we ran, the Democrats ran away from that issue, even though that was their strongest issue, because they felt as if they had to pander that middle of the road. And so they didn't look like they had integrity. And for the middle of the road, I think the Republicans on the right, zealotry looks like integrity when you, the other side doesn't look like they have any kind of basis and solid concrete platform.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, if we can remember back to the moment, the now seemingly like beautiful halcyon days of the George W. Bush administration, when he said, I'm the decider, and we all sort of laughed at that derisively, in fact, what we find is that for a certain very significant category of voters, decisiveness is in and of itself attractive, that people desire the person who says, this is what I think, this is the way the world works, this is what we need to bring about and create. People are like, okay, sounds good. That must be what is true. Because again, when we perform, when we do experimentation around perception and persuasion, mobilization, around these middle-of-the-road voters, they really, I call them the good point people. So, for example, in the race class narrative research that we did and applied in Minnesota and in other places, when we asked them the question, to what extent do you agree, disagree, talking about race is divisive and sets our country back, around 70% of them agree. When we ask them, agree, disagree, talking about race is important and is how we move our country forward, same thing, 70% of them agree.
And we should mention here that on one of your podcasts for Brave New Words, you did feature Minnesota. And I find that that is – we saw this play out in 2018. And I'll just give one race. And, you know Keith Ellison, the congressman who represented the Minnesota 5th District, African-American Muslim man, ran for the state attorney general. And we did see the Republican rolled out their campaign against him was Muslim black man. And that was quite literally all they screamed across, especially outstate Minnesota, yet he won. Now, granted, I think that his opponent did kind of, you know, didn't help his own cause on multiple levels. But at the same time, that message of fear did not win out. And you know, and by sticking to their guns, and Keith Ellison, who is a very good attorney general, by him sticking to his guns and not shying away from who he was, he ended up winning the entire state.
Right. And we saw across your state in the last cycle, and unsurprisingly, you know, it continues unabated, the same thing that we're seeing to a certain extent in the whole country, which is the use of dog whistles, mm-hmm. racially coded invectives, and a tendency to shame and blame people based on their race, based on their religious beliefs, based on their country of origin. In the case of Minnesota, sometimes the triumvirate of all three.
Yes.
For the problems that are actually caused by a handful of wealthy and well-connected people essentially taking and hoarding the spoils for their own, how else do you continue this kind of unabashed, you know, just unrepentant plutocracy except by distracting people by saying, hey, are you feeling hard up? Hey, are you feeling like you can't make ends meet? You have to have someone to blame.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Anand Shankar Osorio is joining us right now. Brave New Words is the podcast, an expert on messaging. And by the way, if every Democrat listening to me follows her, we'll win pretty much every race we're in. Do you feel as if Minnesota, from your studies of this, is kind of an incubator, a petri dish, per se, for the rest of the Democratic Party across the country, that we can be in here and have a very diverse state where we have the rural parts of the state and the mining and blue-collar, you know, rural blue-collar jobs like the Iron Range, and of course, a glitzy metropolitan area, and you can still have that Democratic message and it resonates?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, because when you look at Minnesota demographically, you know, you step back and let me give you full disclosure here. I'm from Wisconsin. I live in California, but I, you know, was raised in Wisconsin. So if you want to hang up now, I guess that's what's going to happen.
You're okay. You're good.
But, you know, why isn't Minnesota Wisconsin? Why isn't Minnesota North Dakota or South Dakota or Iowa or Michigan even, right, in terms of having been battered and been through the draconian policies that decimated, for example, unions and all of those other states, in having kind of unleashed the full extent of right-wing policies, both at the state level and then in terms of representation in Congress, demographically speaking, Minnesota's not that different from its neighbors,
yeah.
Right? So something held Minnesota back. It wasn't because Minnesota's California. It's not because you have like a remarkably different set of people in your state voting. It's because by my read and my experience, both in national politics and then in various other states, the grassroots energy and the smartness and the savviness of the groups that have worked together in Minnesota really over the last 10 years to say, look, they're running on a dog whistle. Look, they're running on deliberate division. Look, they're running on scapegoating immigrants or scapegoating refugees or scapegoating Muslims, instead of burying our head in the sand and saying, you know what, we'll just try colorblind economic populism. We're not going to talk about race. Groups in Minnesota got wise and realized that politics is not solitaire. And there is no choice to not talk about race, because the other side is talking about race every minute of every day,
mm-hmm.
usually in invectives. And so if Democrats in a state choose to, quote, stay silent about race, not go into the rabbit hole of what we have tricked ourselves into calling identity politics, then all the middle is hearing is from the other side. There's no rejoinder. There's no rebuttal. And the economic populist message can't penetrate. And in fact, what we saw in Minnesota, the reason why we did this research and we did this engagement that was about weaving together race and class and tackling these dog whistles, is because the groups on the ground, what they were seeing at the doors is that they would go to the door in, you know, in greater Minnesota, and they would try to talk about economics. They would try to say health care for all, or they would try to say let's improve our schools, or they would try to say let's have a care agenda. And the person at the door would say, well, that sounds great, and I wish healthcare were cheaper. That sounds great, and I do want better education. But these Somalis, you know, or these immigrants, you know, or, you know, these inner city people, and they just couldn't have an economic conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think what you've just pointed out, the two things. One, in surrounding states, what you get is a lot of Democrats trying to run as Republican light, and that never, you know, why am I going to get the light version? I'll just get the regular version. And then the other problem is, as you just sort of you said, is that I think most people, when faced with the option of voting for the person who is undeniably throwing out racist dog whistles and the person who's willing to confront that person, will go with the person who's willing to confront it as opposed to go with the racist. And I think that that's the most dangerous thing for Republicans, is that if they – I think they have their base, then their base will vote for them. But the reality is that the vast majority of people, I think, are turned off by that kind of race baiting. But if you don't challenge it – It basically, you know, it like I said, it, you know, zealotry looks like integrity.
Absolutely. And if you don't challenge it and you don't have a competing storyline, right? Stories need to have origins. Otherwise, things don't make sense and our solutions do not have a foundation. So when the other side is saying, you know, why does it feel harder and harder to make ends meet? Why does it feel like the dollar's not buying what it used to? Why does it feel like things are spinning out of control and unsafe or confusing, or that, you know, things aren't the way that you remember them? If one side is presenting a story for that and they have a villain in that story, and we're just saying free college or we're saying healthcare for all, but we're not explaining how these things came to be and therefore how our solutions can actually be implemented, then our approach doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm.
I wish we had more time. I would love to get into your thoughts on the international, because you have done this. And there's two things I want to drive everyone to. First of all, once again, Anat Shenker Osorio, the podcast is Brave New Words. The Minnesota podcast we've talked about, but she has been Ireland, Australia. She's talked about New Zealand. So these are messages that not only resonate here in the United States, but as well are they're becoming more universal. And I think that as we've seen our politics worldwide, starting to fall into those similar channels, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. So I'm going to drive people to the Brave New Words website so they can listen to your podcast. But I also, ASOC Communications, clearly, I think there's a lot of politicians that should, a lot of people who are looking at messaging, I think should get in touch with you.
I appreciate it.
I really think that they should. ASO Communications, it's asocommunications.com. That's okay. I'll put that link up as well, okay?
That's great.
Oh, this is brilliant. And I'm glad, because you, through your research, through your studies, through your speaking, through your intelligence, you've basically, I mean, here I am. I'm just a regular guy. I'm a guy in Minnesota. I like to vote, and I can see these patterns, and I know that they're not right. And what you have done is you give me great hope, because you validate a lot of things there through your intelligence and your research that basically tell me, you know what, I am right here. I think a lot of people need to listen to you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. I mean, you've clearly hit upon, I mean, you figured it all out on your own, and look at me having to waste all this time gathering data.
But
so, questionable who's smarter.
No, I would say definitely no. You are far smarter than me. Me stumbling, pig finds truffles. So, you know, I'll admit that I stumble upon some of this stuff. But like I said, I think that the crazy thing is there does still seem to be this unwillingness to realize that past path, those past paths these people, the Democrats have been on, is the wrong one. And if we just go down and follow more of a path that you have outlined here, it really is the pathway to success.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen it. So Brave New Words profiles six campaigns we've won somewhere around the world and takes you backstage at what was the message going to be? How were we going to approach it? What did we decide to do instead? How did we implement that? What were the ads that we ran, and how did we end up winning? Right, that's the big spoiler alert. Each episode is about something we won, so there's not a lot of dramatic tension. You can just know that you're going to feel good listening to it, because we're going to win in each episode. But I think that there is so much of the Democratic and Labor Party and whatever the center-right party is in the context that, you know, I'm working in, that is so much rooted in this being embattled, being problem-focused. And I often joke that I can summarize all of progressive messaging in three sentences. One, boy, have I got a problem for you. 2, this is the Titanic, would you like to buy a ticket? And 3, we're the losing team, we lose a lot. Also, we lost recently, so you should join us. And that is just sort of a default set of tendencies that we see out of left and center left parties around the world. And I think that that is partly about humility. It's partly about being people who do care about evidence, who do care about policy, who do care about facts, and think that those, you know, the facts will set us free. We'll just tell the people this is the right thing to do and this is morally right or this is what will grow the economy. And in point of fact, that is a fundamental misapprehension of how people come to judgments and make political decisions.
Anant Shankarasuriya, I've got to end it there because I'm running out of time. ASO Communications, brave new words. We're going to spotlight this interview. Anant, thank you very much. This has just been a pleasure. Please come on back.
No, thank you so much. And thank you for everything that Minnesota is doing to show us why and how to get our act together.
Anant Shankarasuriya, we're going to take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
On October 20th, the University of Minnesota Center for Spirituality and Healing is offering a half-day mindfulness meditation retreat, which is open for those who have never practiced mindfulness or those who are daily practitioners. The mindfulness meditation retreat invites you to intentionally step away from daily routines and the busyness of everyday life for the purpose of renewal. Enjoy guided instruction from a skilled mindfulness teacher, sitting meditation, and gentle mindful movement. Space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
The British are coming! The British are coming! The British are coming! Hey, you there! I'm Paul Revere! The British are coming! Where is everyone?
Ben Franklin dispatched an evacuation warning on Facebook. Didn't you get it?
Hi, I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us today online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get dispatched and selected on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. socialmediamn.com or 763-244-4058.
I love what she said at the end there. Hi, we just lost a lot, and we're losing a lot, and we just recently lost. You want to join us? Guys, okay. Strong Democratic message. Good jobs. Where did the good pays come from? Came from Democratic initiatives. Healthcare. All right? Strong farming communities. All right? These are winning issues. And there's way too many times, I think, that Democrats just fall in love with my 90-page presentation. Stop. This is not rocket science. You can win on every single issue. And by the way, if I may, she's 1,000% correct. We are the party of diversity. We are the party of opportunity. And when they start going, black Muslim man or black Muslim woman, you say to them, damn right, she's the best candidate or he's the best candidate. And if all you've got is basically race baiting and Islamophobia, you will lose. Because at the end of the day, if you do that and you challenge these people, once again, the Republicans are going to vote Republican. But the moderates, the people in the middle, well, they generally don't want to go with the racists, and they generally don't. There's where we win. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.